in his AFQ. We're backstage. Backstage isn't something that happens to the Anfield Rap very often, believe it or not, in that we often don't play venues that have a particularly salubrious backstage, number one. Number two, also, we tend to be running late. so backstage isn't a luxury that we can afford in terms of time. And number three is that normally, at the very least, by the time we arrive, there's some audience in and we'd like to get out there. But there's no audience yet. There's people sound checking and everyone's enjoying themselves. It's a pleasure to be at Boss Night in Oslo here at Rockefeller on the Friday night. Thank you very much to them for inviting us. They really didn't have to, but we're having a wonderful time indeed. With me, I've got John Gibbons, I've got Josh Sexton, I've got Craig Hannon. For now, I may well have more people on their way through throughout this, as we are in a room that people will come in and out of, so we'll see how everyone gets on all together. First one's Tarago Dave. John, if a tortoise was in a race, would it get beaten by an even steadier, even slower tortoise?
Oh, right, okay.
To play on the idea that slow and steady wins the races and tortoises.
Yeah, I think the tortoise wins, Neil.
The normal one.
That was a joke. I think... No, I don't mean... I think it'd be a draw. I think...
Two level tortoises have
a
race.
Yeah, I think the idea that you can out-steady the tortoise that's already a steady eddy, I think is wrong, so I'm going to go with that.
Excellent stuff. All right. So if there's these tortoises in a race, and is it one's even steadier and even slower, Josh, which one would win? The normal tortoise or the even slower and steadier tortoise?
I'm going to say the normal tortoise, because I don't think that... Like, the whole premise of the slow and steady is that, like, the rabbit basically ran himself into the ground, and the hare ran himself into the ground. The tortoise could sort of just sit around and wait until that point came. Whereas I think if two tortoises are going up against each other, it's a fair match from the start, isn't
as,
it?
As Frankie Goes to Hollywood once sang, two tortoises go to war, go to war, go to war. Yeah, what are Frankie's better moments? Which tortoise is winning?
I
don't know. There's just two of them facing off tonight.
Leslie the tortoise.
He's one of the best ones in the Tortoise Olympics. Leslie's got 3 goals.
Trainees, he wears Chinese. He wears Converse.
Timo. Craig, sorry. I looked at Craig and said Tim out. It didn't help Tim
when
it didn't help Craig.
Is it 100 metres?
It's 100 metres.
Then number one tortoise.
So it's
going steady when at 100 metres, is it?
Well, but a tortoise is that, like, it's like 10,000 metres for a tortoise. A dog is 10,000.
Makes you think.
Yeah. Does make you think.
Does make you think indeed. It is indeed deep.
Say what's even deeper.
Go on.
I went to Haribo. John Gibbons has become since this morning.
The amount of Haribo there is on the table, and John's just wolfing it down.
Well, you turned up with loads of it. No clothes.
No clothes. A pair of socks. A pair of undies. And loads of Haribo. That's my shopping bag.
It's been good. It's been a long day, so it's got us through.
And I've seen nothing but Haribo in Norway so far.
That's all we've pretty much done. I haven't got up at 4:30 this morning in order to be here. So, yeah, we're all hanging on for dear life. But the show will be brilliant. It really will be, actually. Everyone's sounding great, Nick. Adam Riley's been on the Life Ofs, lad. And he asks, who is the greatest rapper? Who is the greatest rapper? Josh Sexton, take the floor.
Are we saying dead or alive is the greatest of all time conversation, is it?
Who's the greatest living rapper?
My answer is Kendrick Lamar, then. The new Kendrick album, by the way, if anyone's not listened to it is into Kendrick Lamar. I would very much recommend. I've been having chats with, like, Craig and Ash about it in the office. Ash listened through the first time and sort of, like, gave it quite a heavy review and has gone back and listened to it since and says it's changed his life. So
he's rethought his previous position. Excellent. Okay. Timo, greatest living rapper.
And Dubs are back together, aren't they?
Yeah. Do the arenas.
Yeah, do the arenas to us. Might get on the support with them. I'm not really into rap, I'll be honest with you. There's some crap on Radio 1 at the moment. They go on about me fucking tax bill or something. It's like, come on, don't listen about your tax bill, mate. There's a group of lads from Kensington called Insanity Hits, and one of them passed away about 10 years or so. RIP. But they're amazing. If you can listen to them, Insanity Hits on SoundCloud, I'll give them a little go.
Marvellous. Excellent. John?
See, the rappers Rakim. If you asked Snoop Dogg who the best rapper was, he'd say Rakim. So, I feel like we should listen to the rappers. So if it's all like best technical rapper rather than the best like rap artist I enjoy, I mean, Lupe Fiasco is the one that comes to my head for me. I think he's fucking brilliant. Like in terms of, like, just pure, like, you know, flow and everything he's doing. I just think he's exceptional. I saw him once. He came to Liverpool and played, like, the go to academy and like just brought a full band with him, and like I was just dead into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, a set that's like well better than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, people just
like ours tonight.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got a full band as well, 12-piece, big band. Yeah. So we saw him and he was great. So I think my favourite in terms of pure rap is Lupe Fiasco. The hipster answer is Rakim.
Craig?
I mean, my favourite, and that's not the best, my favourite is Kanye. Living. The best Living or Dead's MF Doom. Like, by a country mile. Do you know what? I watched it. If you see in the Kanye documentary, Jay-Z, apparently Jay-Z doesn't write down his raps. He just comes up with them in his head. So he listens to a beat and then he raps them out loud. And there's a bit in the Kanye documentary where he's produced a piece of music and Jay-Z just walks in and just does it. And I was like, my mind was blown by that. The idea that his raps are just...
I reckon he's thinking about them all the time.
Yeah.
But come on.
Walking into a room, hearing a beat and going, yeah, I'll just throw these
like down. Your best
must have what he wants to say.
Yeah, he's got like, you know,
he's got a few little ideas.
He's got themes.
I mean, when I was a rapper. when do you listen to rap music, though? It's like, I've got to be in a certain kind of mood, like, to listen to, like, so someone like a bit of...
I think it depends, no, because, like, you know, I mean, you've got to be in a mood for Tupac, right, I take that, but, like, if you want to just throw a bit of De La Soul on something, that's a different vibe, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Next one along is Graham Faulkner. I don't want too much on this because it was just slightly self-indulgent. Who would you book for a pilot TV episode of Pro Celebrity AFQ? So two regulars and two even more famous celebrities. There's four of you. So one of you has got to name someone who does the Anfield rap on a regular basis. One's got to name a celebrity. One does the Anfield rap on a regular basis. One's got to do a celebrity. Any order you want. Who's looking at me? Josh is looking at me.
I'll have Tim O'Tierney and Dappy from Undubs, please.
Okay, excellent. Perfect too.
Both packing some heat.
Haribo everywhere.
Haribo, yeah.
Go on, he's done two, but you can do two as well.
No, I'll do Kev Walsh and Claire Sweeney.
Marvellous.
Just because.
Good night out.
It's his dream. And yeah, they will go out after.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happened between them two would, you know, it's their business.
Tremendous stuff. Absolutely tremendous. I didn't know that Kev actually was the owner/innovator of the Bar Sweeney's in town.
He's trying to lure her in.
Yep. Craig.
So I'd put Harriet with Pete Price because I'm not sure she knows who Pete Price is.
That's really funny.
She'd be so confused.
Yeah, all the way.
Like, one of my favorite things within the Anfield rap is when you put two contributors together that are almost exact opposites. So Harriet and Kev are really funny together.
Yeah,
because they're the complete opposite.
Excellent. So Harriet and Pete Price.
Yeah.
Timo,
I'm having a I'll have the Neil Dockin with Judge Rinder.
Can pick his brains about the legal profession.
Would listen.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
Be dirty on it.
Tremendous stuff. All right,
you can host now.
Sorry,
you can host.
Oh, I'll take any of these together. To be quite honest with you,
roll on, roll off subs.
I'd just be concerned that Kev would turn up very much with his own agenda. Henry Jackson asks this: what animal would be your best match in the 100 meters? So, what animal would run the 100 meters?
Good question, this week.
Yeah, what animal would run 100 meters in the same way as you? You can pick an earlier point in your life where you think, you know, if when you were quicker over the 100 meters, possibly. But if you want to have your peak 100 meters, that's fine. But what animal would be your best 100 metre match, Timo?
Rupert, my dog Rupert with 3.5-inch legs. He's slow as fuck.
I was
never into 100 metres, mate. I was crap at the sprint. I'm all about the walking. So I'm having the dog.
Okay. Dog. Your
very,
dog
very
with,
specific.
His, with his little legs.
Yeah.
Does when you walk the dog, does the dog scurry to catch you up or do you scurry to catch the dog up?
I basically just yank him along because he's so stubborn and his head's so close to the floor that he wants to sniff every single piece of concrete, that it's one of the most frustrating walks in the world. And now because we've got a baby, he puts his paw on to go under the pram. He's that lazy. So now he gets under the pram and we walk with dog underneath pram, baby on top of pram. And me, the knobhead who's pushing them.
I was about to say, I think he's making a tit out of you, to be honest with you.
He puts a limp on and all that. But I take him in the Tesco and all the R girls love it. They love it.
There they we are. Up. Okay, very specific answer of Rupert the dog. Josh, what animals matching your 100 metres?
I'm struggling a bit because like all the like I was going for smaller animals in the same vein as Timo, but all the ones I can think of would absolutely rinse me in 100 metres. I think could if you went for like a bird type animal, would they be able to fly or would they have to run the 100 metres?
I'm going to say they have to run for the purpose of this.
I'm going to say I'm taking on like a swan then or something.
Seagull.
Yeah.
I hate the way Seagull's
Well, I reckon I'd rinse a Seagull in 100 metres, but a Swan I reckon would be...
A Swan could get
race.
A bit of pace up.
Yeah.
A Jack Russell would be a good match for him, a little Jack Russell.
Yeah, you'd think it that way. So the first 20 metres it might outdo you, but I reckon once you've got your stride going...
Like a really
stuff.
Old one though, I think. It would need to, like...
No, don't
need
talk
to be
yourself
similar,
down, lads.
No,
no, no, come
on. When we get
I'm sure you're running for them gates today.
Yeah.
In the airport.
Yeah, I think you can do it. John, what are you going for?
I'll have a goat, please, Neil.
I'd love it, yeah.
I reckon I'd do it on the dip.
It'd be very close, yeah.
Do it on the dip. It wouldn't know to dip, no.
I mean, they are absolutely mad. As
they are, yeah, but I reckon it'd tire, yeah. Like we were saying before. And they're just a bit ungainly, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a lot of energy for not that much speed.
Yeah.
It's stupid as well, aren't they?
Goals, yeah, yeah. They'll probably just go off. So we get disqualified.
Bail, will it?
Yeah, okay. Craig?
Sprinting's none of my business.
It is not your business. What needless animal is that?
A deer looks as if it should be fast, but it's not actually that fast.
Isn't it?
Well,
I've
maybe made that up.
I've saw a deer run.
Have you?
Yeah. When I went to Hepton Bridge, the dog took chase after two deer in this wild terrain, and my God, did they run fast.
I didn't realise I get called up on saying that deers are slow, Neil.
I think deers are. I've got
serious business.
Got yeah. I think you've got the internet to worry about now as well.
Yeah, you've got
the
internet.
Don't let you away with anything, do they?
The deer lads will come for you.
Yeah, deer Twitter.
Yeah, so it's vociferous.
Serious game.
Peg then.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I think I can tolerate that as an answer.
Do pigs have knees?
I wouldn't think particularly productive ones. No. So like Craig. Craig's, yeah. Yeah, like Craig's.
But they're useful.
Yeah.
Your knees or pigs' knees?
No, pigs in general.
Oh. Okay. Next one's Redman, who asks this. Busy weekend?
It is, yeah. We're here in Oslo. Delighted to be here. Manford Hall tomorrow, then obviously Sunday, but like... You know, we're still doing our jobs and stuff like that, so obviously we still have a lot of conversations with people back home around various things. I know you've been on the phone a lot, Neil. Josh was editing Dan Morgan's column and stuff like that before, and yeah, I'm sure Craig's doing bits as well. So you're still it's still a Friday in work, and we're the foremost important people at the Anfield back. So that's not true, but we are busy.
It is a busy weekend, Simon.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
We're on big time.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good.
I'm going to try and get to your show tomorrow, because we played it, didn't we, a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Smashed it. Never mind played it, lads.
Yeah, it was a great time, yeah. And then we're playing the Olympian on Sunday. Yeah, I think I'm doing 11 minutes. It started off at half an hour this morning, it's gone to 11.
You need to start getting a video or something that you played before. You could shrink your set even further.
Yeah.
I know. I just think get someone else on with me and let them do half the set, and then I just watch and then okay.
Excellent stuff. Right.
You do loads of talking, hyping up the crowd.
Alright, Josh. Tell people how to jobs. Tom says, and it's a dangerous question, so let's try and keep ourselves at least into the point that it won't need to be edited. Favourite local legend? So Tom Farhi, friend of the show, one of the finest men in Birmingham, says that round is, there was a fella called the King's Heath Monkey Man. He pushed a toy monkey around in a pushchair and dressed like one of the libertines. So that was their one. Was the fella who pushed a toy monkey around. Your favourite local legend, John?
There was a guy who used to stand on a main road in South Liverpool just pointing at the vehicles as they went past, and he'd follow them, and then when they go he'd follow another one. I'm sending me finger horizontally from left to right, and I liked him because he was just out enjoying himself. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't bothering anyone. Yeah. He just enjoyed the moving traffic, and he enjoyed following it with his finger. And then when that one would go, he just follow another one. So I don't know his name, but I liked him.
Okay. Tim up.
There was Tony Beepy. Yeah. My old Swan used to make cars beep at him. But I haven't seen him for about 20 years. So mine's probably Scully. The fella with no legs in the wheelchair. He flies up and down Ball Street.
Oh, yeah.
Scully's my little... Oh, the one that goes...
That's good impression.
He's probably my favourite. It's between him and Scully.
So I was going to mention him because every day you see him, he's got a different outfit on.
Yeah, he's from Barrow and Finesse, I believe, up in the lakes, which is dead mad. Yeah.
Where's he getting all of these outfits? It's incredible. You never see him the same thing. He's been there
when
for...
Neil's finished with the suits, that's where they go.
That gets passed along. You're delighted, aren't you, Craig? Look how happy Craig is.
I like that he's like leveled up his equipment down here as well. Like, he used to just have one of those like toy kids mics that didn't actually project any sound, and now he's got like things that project sound and stuff like that. Fair play to him.
He's good, isn't he?
Really climbing the ladder.
Who's yours?
Would mine have to be one for Wilms or one for Liverpool?
You can pick whichever one you want.
Well, I was going to say Steve McDonald lives in Wilms. I was in Coronation Street, Steve McDonald, and he once gave us a fiver, like each, like me and my brothers on Halloween. Off the caps, of course.
He was flush at Halloween.
He gave us a fiver each on Halloween once, so I'd have to say he's my favourite local hero.
I love how, like, he always looks like he's perplexed, don't he, Steve? No, Corey.
Yeah.
No, that face he does when he's like confused. I don't watch it, but I always love seeing his face every time I see it.
One of the last Corey storylines I engaged with was when he was married. They were great, the pair. And they faked a divorce so they could get remarried and get more presents, and they got found out. It was one of the truly great Corny. I loved it. I absolutely loved it as a storyline. It was the business. I'm reminded of, I think, last one of the times we talked about Coronation Street on AFQ, John, someone came back and said it was on like the American version of Netflix, and it was like saying
from the start
so it was from the start on the American version of Netflix, and it was like saying 58 seasons, and each season had like 52 episodes in because they were just doing one a year, and the idea of thinking, right, Corrie from the start, come on.
Could you do it?
I think there'd be a lot of highs and lows. There's bits of it used to film live, like they have to just do it as live with massive cameras, I'm sure, into the sets and
did
stuff.
Did you ever go to the pub? In the bar.
So you were able to go for those listening from outside the Northwest to Granada Studios, where Coronation Street filmed, and you could visit the set and you could see. You know, it was a mocked up, but like, you know, real road, if that makes sense. Like, people weren't living there, which not like Ramsey Street, which is neighbours, but or Brookside Close, which is a, you know, real active road as well. But you know, it was all built, but in a studio. But to attract more people, they had like other stuff going on, didn't they? Like, you know, they had like rides, and not like on towers, but like little rides and stuff, didn't they? They had like, you know, with the little tours and stuff you could do. It was a proper day out, like
shite, wasn't it? I did like that part though. We went the Rovers.
We got the Rovers for the best bit. Absolutely the best bit.
Got on a VHS, and the VHS was like in a blue case with like an organiser.
Yeah, you could do a little scene in the Rovers, couldn't you? My dad and my sister did one.
No, I thought you got left out of that one.
I wasn't that positive, really.
Weren't you?
No, not at the time.
Did you hang on to do the sportscaster stuff later on? Give me a moment.
Not much of a showman, are you, John?
No, I mean, maybe not at that time, to be honest with you. I think it was just less. I was waiting for the cabin with Rita, to be honest with you.
Waiting for the
big one.
I often share stuff in the really mad set of stuff I shared of old, like 70s bits of Corrie that are just outrageously funny, not least because the actors are just doing it, like they're getting one go at this, and they're sort of having to just make it work. They might occasionally get to absolutely brilliant some of the
writing. Cold Feet, is it at the Granada Studios? Is that the same place?
I would have thought so.
Strangely, on the day that we played City in the European Cup the away game, for some reason we were uploading at those studios because Sam used to work there, didn't he? And we were there, and Cold Feet's set was there, and they said, "We'll take you around, but just don't touch anything." And of course, Robbo stuck a tall sticker on the notice board in the set. And anyway, year and a half later, people were texting saying, "Like, how the fuck is your tall sticker on Cold Feet?" Because Robbo put it there.
Tremendous. It was Kieran just walked in, by the way. He's probably wondering, how the fuck is this a thing?
Picked up on it quick. Used to be a massive Corrie fan. Fell off when the tram crash happened. It was like peak day really for me.
Yeah, Alan Bradley.
And I just sort of fell off after that, because I remember seeing Rita under there for about a week and then popping up with her hair still perfect. That's not on at all.
Kieran's playing with us tomorrow night, by the way. Thank you very much, Kieran. I haven't said that yet. Thank you for playing with us tomorrow night.
Forward to it, mate.
Good.
Big stage.
Should have played Mouth at all.
It's a cracker.
Looking forward to it.
Led Zeppelin played there.
Yeah. Have
they? Yeah.
Damn, I'm going to patch on tomorrow night.
me and John went and watched Nelly at Mountford Hall as well, didn't we? That
we did,
was good.
Yeah.
Do you have a plaque?
Do you have a patch on?
I hope you do Dilemma tomorrow, Keo, that'll go off.
Yeah,
doing it tonight.
Richard Bond's been on anyone, so who's your favourite Norwegian?
Oh.
Anyone in Taker's favourite Norwegian?
Stinging and Bjornaby.
He's a solid Norwegian. One of the first Norwegian in our lives, I reckon. First time I was probably aware of Norwegians was Stigging and Bjørnaby. I wasn't not aware of them. Has anyone else got it?
Fiona, you need to pick Taggy, really.
Well, he's great.
He's a nice fella. Yeah, so I'm going to pick Taggy.
I think he's a rock solid favourite Norwegian.
Yeah. And if in my head you said to me, like, you know, think about what a Norwegian maybe looks like, Taggy looks like it.
Yeah, with his big beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any favourite Norwegians, Josh, Keo?
I was thinking Mari. Mari's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Mari's good.
Yeah.
Mari is good.
Okay.
So I think I'll start.
So Mari Lewis used to work for the Supporters Club, yeah, and it's probably just as Scouser now, isn't she?
I think it's a small journey.
What was that fellow playing for Chelsea called? Fjortoff, was it?
Yeah, he's loads of good interviews with the manager.
Yeah, he does.
The manager likes
gets a lot out of him.
Yeah, I think the manager buzzes off and thinks he's alright and goes from there. Okay, what does everyone think of Nicolas Cage? Sanoj thinks he's crap. What do you think of Nicolas Cage? He says he's a terrible actor and always has been. Nicolas Cage, Craig?
That's sort of the appeal, isn't it? That he's a bit good but shite. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other things that he does that you can clip now and they look ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Just Google Nicolas Cage on YouTube and you just get, like, you'll get an hour of him being silly and being ridiculous, but yeah, that's part of the appeal, isn't it?
I like the first shot of Snake Eyes. Keo, Nicolas Cage opinions?
I feel like everyone knows more about Nicolas Cage than I do.
Well, it's not done worry at all.
I don't trust him.
Untrustworthy. Rock solid.
What's this fella's name who's asked the question?
Sanoj.
I believe Nicolas Cage speaks very highly, this fella as well. I'm into him.
Are you?
Yeah. I'll sit all day with him.
Yeah, we need ridiculous people in the world, and he is one of them. I like Con Air. I mean, that's a silly, silly film.
It is.
And he's silly in it.
The Rock is very silly.
Yeah.
Not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, Nicolas Cage.
And he's silly. It can be.
Face Off. Utterly ridiculous.
Well, he says the line, isn't it? I'm going to take his face off and does that. Yeah. Because he's, you know, he's a great actor.
He'll do it. He'll say the line, Nicolas Cage.
I'm going to annoy you, Neil. I've never seen a Nicolas Cage film.
But you can't play your role on this. Your rule that you're not, I think it's easy.
I can't play my rule if I've literally not seen it.
No, but your rule is that you're not watching anything before the year 2000.
Don't think he trusts me then.
Oh, man, you know. I respect the rule, but that.
What did you say on the plane today? He said, I once thought the new Nicolas Cage film on the plane. I've got no screen.
On that hour and a half journey.
No, it's that new Nicolas Cage. Sherlock
Lester. Rasmus Olsen asks this: how much of you would really want to talk about the footy instead? To be honest, Rasmus, we talk about the footy a lot. We're not short of opportunities to talk about the footy. Does anyone want to talk about the footy more?
Not right now, I'm alright. We're about to go on stage and talk about the footy.
But we're going
to
talk a lot about the
that's
footy.
That's the plan.
Yeah, well, I mean, we might
talk about Corrie.
Be doing it tomorrow night and Sunday as well.
Yeah. Clearing up absolutely anywhere, doing all of that. So, no, we're all pretty relaxed. The footy is endless, even at the minute, where you might think, well, fucking hell, you know what I mean? It couldn't be a better time to be doing the footy.
We'll get passes
from Nicol T.
I like putting mine on my jeans. I feel it's a bit
much.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Nico
says
mine's always the t-shirt.
I lose mine on me top.
Doing passes live. I'm doing mine there.
I remember when I was like 16, I used to play in like the Lomax and I'd go to the crazy house after and keep me pass on. Like, I think I was fucking boss.
Just seeing if you could blend it in time. Just being backstage, you know, game.
It's like it's like the 16-year-old equivalent of going out in your entry pass still on. You know, like your Lord Derby suite or whatever. Like, it's like it's just like that, but 20 years earlier in your life.
All right, so we've got our passes on all sorted out here as we're going backstage all the way through. Thank you, Tim. Tim was concerned. He's got pass concerns for me there. Yeah, we'll just force it down. huge pass concerns. Blaine asks this: what's your penalty technique? Which is a football question, but we'll allow it.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Both taking one and trying to save one. Keo, tell me how you take a penalty and tell me how you save a penalty.
Don't take one. I missed a penalty with Park in a charity game two days before we went to Kiev. Ended with a black eye because of it. I won the penalty. Went up for the header, someone just went bang, elbowed me. Went down like a sack of shite. Referee goes, penalty. Takes the ball, says, I'm taking this. Kid runs the length of the pitch from like left back, says, it's dreams to score with Park and I take the penalty. I'm like, no chance, mate, I'm going to bury this.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then the referee comes up to me and goes, imagine the European Cup finals, goes, so puts the ball on the spot. I take a good penalty, by the way, and the keeper saves it, right? Comes out to me, I put over the bar.
Oh.
back, so I've got no position to talk about. I was always all right at penalty. That's why I was so good. I don't want to bury this. Because I pictured like the Liverpool end there, you know what I mean? And we used to go to Blackburn years ago. And everyone's going to go to Fairnest after this. Everyone's going
to
have a laugh.
What did the lad say who wanted to take it? Did he say anything to you?
I don't speak to him again, really.
Fucking hell.
But, yeah, to be honest, I put a bit of a bevy on that. He wasn't like, it's me dreaming that. He just said, can I take this? I'm a Blackburn fan. That's what he sort of said. Like, well, I still should have given it. You know what I mean?
In hindsight,
but like, I won the penalty. Like, and it was 2 days to the European Cup final, and the Liverpool end was there waiting
for
me.
Never touched the left foot anyway. Take a penalty.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm in opposition.
In this cage.
Incredible. I will come back around and save one. I'll just take a penalty.
Well, I was saying to Craig the other day, I'm 0-1 on competitive penalties, but my technique is low and hard to the keeper's left, so my right.
Yeah.
So. Bottom right corner in theory, but when I've actually took one in a real game, I just popped it and scuffed it.
And to keep a save it?
He did save it, yeah. And it was that week he had time to then jump on it as well, so it didn't even like come out any like. So yeah, it was a poor. Oh, that was disgust from Tim over there. It was a poor pen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I was so worried as well. We were like 5-1 up or something, and it was like second last game.
You
so
missed
I was
the
like
penalty. It's worrying. That's no, a worrying thing. Never mind if you're 5-1 up or not. It's on your toes and on your shoulders.
Yeah, well, maybe. Thanks, mate. But hard and low to the keepers. And if I'm in goal, I'd probably try and guess where he's going. If I couldn't, I'd probably dive right.
Okay. Timo, how'd you take a penalty?
Put my laces through it.
Do you?
Yes, yeah. Timo.
Put my laces right through it. Be honest, you just hope it's going just fucking wacky. Somewhere in the middle third of the goal, it's going. That's where
the keeper touches. He's going in with it.
Probably. If he's under 11, he's hitting himself if he's going near it. In goal, used to play in goal a little bit. Used to really enjoy a penalty. So, you know, if you save it, you're a winner, aren't you?
Yeah. Would you have a plan for saving it?
I dive left.
Yeah.
Always left. Sad. Can't dive, you're right.
Okay. So it's a good job. Let's hope you're not a goal anytime soon if somebody's heard this.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
I'm 40 now, mate.
Can't dive that
way. Like you. I'm 40 now.
Go on, Craig. What are you taking a penalty?
Always the same way. Bottom corner, keeper's right, my left. And I'd always look the other way and put it that way. And, you know, if it was one of those,
so you'd arc it back the other way. So you put it down, bang, yeah.
Put it in that corner.
Right, because you're right footed, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you can bang, put it the other way.
Yeah, every time.
Gerard used to hit them like that, didn't he?
Sort of like Gerard, John. Almost like Gerard.
I want to know how Josh is going to get the ball in the penalty situation to the touchline. how do you take a penalty, Josh?
Craig Hannon's witnessed my greatest ever penalty, which was at the Kop End, past Glenn Price, a Panenka into the top right corner.
Fucking
anyone who follows me on Twitter will have surely seen it, because I was tweeting it basically every day through lockdown, because I'm
just dinked him.
Yeah, just, well, I dinked everything basically. I scuffed it, really.
It was like Zidane.
But it hit the, like, what do you call it? Hit the
stanchion.
Well, no, the frame of the goal. Where the post and the bar meet, and then dropped into the goal. Glenn Price had no chance.
I don't remember any of this.
Is this all lies?
It's all lies.
Jamie's on the edge here. Jamie, how'd you take a penalty? What's your
same as Craig?
Put it that way. You know, that's how I take them as well. So I feel like we're giving too much away.
It's all in the eyes.
Yeah,
it's all in the eyes. Wait for the keeper.
I've taken some shootouts and stuff, and I always go that way because he always thinks, because your safe thing to do is to go the way that you play. So you come across, you strike the ball, you put your laces through it, so I always go the other way. Did one of the shootouts in one of the mad tournaments we used to play in. Hit the inside of the post, dink into the back of the net. It was both phenomenal, and there was a split second when it hit the inside of the post, and I heard the noise where I thought, ah, fuck.
Yeah,
where's this gone? But it doesn't get any better than that as it goes all the way through. All right, where are we? Luca Haram asks just really simple one. Favourite capital city, John?
Oh, I don't know. Come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds great. Favourite capital city?
Lisbon's good. Lisbon's really good. I've been twice now and I've really enjoyed it. I went last time when Liverpool were playing, thinking that I was going to get Portuguese weather. And all I had was shorts for the entire time. It was fucking freezing.
Yeah, it was like, made up.
It's colder than home.
Yeah.
It's colder than home. But it still didn't take away, but we had a brilliant time. So that's how I've settled on it.
Lisbon. Okay, Lisbon. All right, Josh?
I don't think I've been to many.
They're not. You don't go to them as often as you think.
No.
You think they'd be the ones that you go to. Like, there's a bit of a shelf for London in this.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
I really liked Rome. But then, like, I still don't feel like I got to explore it as much. Like, I feel like part of the fantasy of Rome is that, like, I didn't get to see so much of it and wanted to see more kind of thing. So I'll go with Rome.
Rome is absolutely incredible. Timo?
I like Madrid. Went to Alicante before. I thought I love Spain anyway. Helen, unfortunately, doesn't let us go to Spain on holidays. She doesn't like it. Doesn't like the heat. But I did enjoy Madrid. I would like to go back and have a look over.
Any other takers?
I'd be like Budapest. Budapest is a great city.
I love Budapest. Budapest is probably my favourite city. I don't think it's the best one. Do you know what I mean? Like, your best and favourites isn't always the same.
Amsterdam.
Is that a capital though?
Yeah, of course it is.
Is it The Hague or something weird? Or is that
Amsterdam, mate.
Is he? Sorry.
A lot of my favourite cities and capitals, New York, Barcelona. Like, a lot of them are
Copenhagen's capital. A champion. Yeah.
Copenhagen's a brilliant city.
Batty, but
London is a good shout as well. London's definitely in the top.
I hate London.
Do you? Yeah, I think it's great.
A lot of cities. Like, yeah, so Brazil, like, it's Brazilian, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's not like
Rio. So a lot of them like destination ones aren't really capitals.
Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne aren't the capital. Yeah,
it's Canberra, isn't it?
Yeah.
Valletta's nice in Malta as well.
It's lovely.
But it's like next to the next city, isn't it? It's tiny.
Capital of Culture also in 2018.
What was it, Valletta?
I'm going there in a couple of weeks.
Lovely. Go to what's it called?
It's
a good one over there, and they've got, there's loads of really cool memorabilia.
Absolutely nuts, the Maltese. There's a little island you can go to.
Blue Lagoon, it's called.
That's
really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's spot on. Water all around is brilliant.
I've seen it, it's just there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the one that's just like
just over there?
I have to mention Reykjavik as well, by the way, after last night. Lovely place.
It's a lovely place, but it's not my favourite capital city.
No, it's not a favourite, but it's a good place.
It is a lovely little place, Tom. You'd have to adjust, I think.
The football related question, we'll skip that one quick. Jay's going to Oslo for his birthday in the summer, and he wants to know where he can get a good dinner.
Don't know.
We've had a nice pizza, John.
Yeah.
What was the gaff called?
Can't remember.
Nor can I. It's close to Rockefeller.
I've got the seat.
Excellent news. Good man yourself. It's close to Rockefeller. Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
Hell's Kitchen. We've had a good pizza, it was nice. So there, but we're in a very specific part of Oslo. Oslo seems lovely, by the way. We've only sort of walked through it. We've been once before, but I don't remember seeing much of it then.
We had a nice walk from the hotel, it was really nice. Yeah. The architecture is spectacular, isn't it? The buildings are gorgeous. So obviously loads of history there. We come in February when obviously it was freezing, but people were still outside. But today, walking through, there's loads of people like sitting and drinking and eating and stuff outside. There's lots of big areas where they've set up for people to do that, and that's cool.
It is. It's very, very cool indeed. It's a pleasure to be in Oslo. So if you are listening, you're coming out to see us all tonight, thank you very much. One, but number two, it's a nice place. It's just one of them, and it's a bit of a shame we can't spend more time, but we've all got to get back because, my God, there's a lot going on this weekend. Kieran Smith asks, this first film or TV baddie that scared you? I was petrified. Petrified of Grot Bags.
Yeah.
Grot Bags was nightmarish. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can even now, you know, you show me a green-faced woman, I'm terrified. So Grot Bags is definitely my answer on this one. I also got very creeped out when Jeff Capes turned up on Sooty and Sweep. I also never liked it when Sooty and Sweep had legs, but they went baddies, but I just didn't like them having legs. It was very upsetting when they would show them occasionally walking places. I was like, fuck this off. I can talk endlessly about Sooty and Sweep.
Skeletor was a horrible person.
Skeletor was horrible, yeah.
Not a very nice person.
No.
And in the movie...
Masters of the Universe. The movie, yeah.
The Skeletor, that's not very nice.
The rock solid answer, Skeletor, John.
I can't really remember any in particular. I remember, like, it was Trapdoor a bit scary. I felt like Trapdoor was a bit scary.
That's
like,
the scene, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Rosie and Jim was scary as well.
It's terrifying when you look back, Rosie and Jim. Like, there's clips of it all over Twitter now, and it's genuinely horrifying.
Okay.
A lot of old kids' TV was, really, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it really was. I mean, this is a massive, massive thing.
Yeah.
Kieran Molyneux has practically got his top off as Jamie's brought the food into the room. Richard Hillman.
I was going to say Richard Hillman.
Richard Hillman.
When he drove the car into the canal.
We were talking about Cody before,
and like, and then when he drove down there, I think, you bastard.
Do you know what I think mine was? Probably the naughty Nunu on Teletubbies. I was a Teletubbies fan as a kid and I used to be scared of that Hoover.
Do you remember Hick? Yeah, Dustin Hoffman as Hook. Because it's an outrageously over-the-top performance. He's chewing the scenery and everything all the way through. It's tremendous and dreadful in equal measure. Yeah. So he scares you to death, Hook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he was so over-the-top.
He's a bit like Jack Sparrow before Jack Sparrow, isn't
That's
he?
A great shout, he is indeed. Yeah.
Scarier, though.
Scarier than...
Captain Hook.
Scarier than Jack Sparrow, indeed. All right. Where are we? We're in the way of people eating, so we may well wrap up relatively soon.
It's all good.
I know it's cool, but I'm still conscious we're sat here. Where are we? What would you rather have? One quick, one football, one. Win the league unexpectedly due to a 94th minute Coutinho screamer, or win number 7 in Paris?
I think the feeling of winning the European Cup would be better, I think. I think winning that game to win it, I think the closer you get to European Cup final, the more you remember how big it is and how much it means and how much, you know, you want to win it and how just what a huge competition it is. So I think that experience of winning it will be better.
Okay, Kim?
European Cup.
Timo?
I would like to win the league with a 94-minute winner. Not that I would be arsed, like, cause I'd be in the house watching, like, telly or something, but I would like, either of them, I'm game.
A game for either, Jamie? European Cup or the league?
It's not mutually exclusive to the league, because we won the league behind closed doors last time, seeing us win the European Cup. It's personal.
No, with that 100%. I think there's something sad. I'm going to talk about it a bit on stage tonight, though not too much. But there's something sad, I think, in the fact that we never got to go to Anfield and sing about the champions, and we never got to go away from home and go to like Goodison and go to Old Trafford and say they're the champions, you know. And I think that is sad, and that is something that you remember.
Also, stop City winning anything at all means they'll end up with nothing.
True.
Very, very funny. Craig?
I can't be arse of the talk around Coutinho being any part of this.
So like, put Coutinho to one side then, go on.
Still the European Cup.
Okay.
Now that we're there,
people
now that
like
we're going.
Lucas Digne.
Yeah, that is the funny outcome.
I don't want people like talking about it as if like he's won us the league. Footballers have won the league that are getting over 90 points. Coutinho might play a part in Man City dropping points, but it doesn't mean when it's the footballers that we watch every single week that's won it for us. If we do,
okay, go on.
I'm going to say European Cup as well.
European Cup as well. Okay. All right. Mary Lewis asks, we've got three musicians in the room. Best rainy day tune. John.
It's alright.
Best
Another Day, Paul McCartney.
Another Day, Paul McCartney, okay. Best Rainy Day tune.
Neighbours Shack.
Okay, yeah.
I thought you were going to change the neighbours theme.
Yeah, I was going to, but then I thought this would be
in the ticket. Alright, I think comedy by Shaq's a decent answer to this as well.
Cup of tea by Shaq is a nice rainy day.
It could be that this is the Shaq genre, is actually stuff that you listen to in rain but feel good about it.
Yeah, it's raining outside. I'm going to put Shaq on, I'm going to get a brew.
Stranger by Shaq, then that's
what's everyone's favourite Shaq song?
By Shaq.
Stranger, by the way, my favourite.
Keel?
I don't know, you know. I'm not just going to come back to this in about a week.
Regain.
Yeah, I'm after some figures in that, you know what I mean? Start like,
you get, text.
Get the data.
Josh?
I'm a bit stuck as well. I feel like Maroon 5 produced some good like rainy day tunes.
Oh my god, have you just said that?
I mean, you picked the wrong room for that one, go on.
I remember I was in New Zealand actually, and it was lashing down, and we went and stayed in this place, and we ended up having it to ourselves, and it was like a sort of more of a home really, but it was lashing down, there was nowhere to go, but they had a record player and some records, and we put a few things on, but we found Graceland, and we put Graceland on. I think it's the first time I've really sat and listened to Graceland.
Oh, no.
It was just incredible.
It's one of the best albums ever.
Yeah,
so good.
But it was like, you know, I was conscious of Graceland like growing up. I was probably like, I think I was about 22 when this happened, and like, so I was, you know, I knew you could call me Alan, knew there was an album called Graceland, it was a bit controversial, blah, 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 but I, you know, boss songs on. But I think it was the first time I'd sat there, and it was just me and a girl who I was seeing just in the middle of nowhere, couldn't go out, just listen to this album, and I remember it just being like mind-blowing.
I had a Graceland thing where I was, when I was at uni in halls, I had a bad time, and I went to sit into my mate's room, and his door was unlocked, so I just went in, I was going to go and see him, just sat off. His door was unlocked, and the door above, with the window open, was playing Graceland dead loud. dead loud. And I remember I owned Graceland and I'd listened to Graceland, but in that moment as it was sort of coming in, like not out the speakers, but like coming in, filtering through the window, this is fucking brilliant. That genuinely thought this is fucking brilliant, this album. And I remember listening to all, basically listening to, got in whilst Graceland was on, so I didn't get the first track, got in whilst Graceland was on, listened to the rest of it, and my mate never came back, whose room I was in. It was fucking incredible. That's my Graceland thing.
Diamonds on the soles of his shoes.
That's unbelievable.
In that song, the choir called?
Like, just,
it
was a
slow day,
when
the sun was
bitten,
and the
sun
was down
the
summer road.
Oh,
he's
putting it on.
Sorry,
Paul.
When you mentioned about putting records on, like, when I first got a record player, I had my Marjorie Little Ram album, and I used to listen to that all the time, and I used to listen to The Window Open all the time. And you mentioned the song yesterday, Jay Uncle Albert, Avril Halsey.
Oh, what
tune? I reckon that's my rainy day tune.
Yeah, it's a rainy day.
That's my rainy day tune. I've done a bit
Raydays
of
rainy days and Mondays by the Carpenters.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I like good. Nirvana Unplugged, the album, so all apologies. It's a lovely
tune. On Unplugged.
Yeah.
On Unplugged. Keo's going to go and eat some food. God knows. Well, all the best indeed. Excellent stuff. Good question, Mary. Got everyone going. Where is somewhere you want to visit? Jordan McKay asks. Where is somewhere that you want to visit that you haven't visited yet? Any takers? A lot of silence. Josh?
I'll go with Los Angeles. I've heard very, very conflicting views on Los Angeles, but obviously my basketball team are there, so I'd like to go and watch them.
You were meant to be going when you're through the pandemic.
Yeah, before the pandemic, March 2020. So I'd like to go and be able to do that and put to bed any rumours about what Los Angeles is like.
I mean it's just massive. LA. We had a nice time when we went for the football. We stayed in Santa Monica. We stayed pretty much right on the beach. In fact, you could see the beach from where we were, and we had a really nice time. So I think it's just finding the bits that suit you really. But yeah, Santa Monica was great, and there's a really good supporters club. Obviously, the. You know, Brian and Jordan are from the LA Sports Club. They're meeting Joxer Dailies and stuff, so you know, they'll look after you. I'm sure they'll show you the sites.
We'll sort it out. Where do you want to go that you're not
being? I'm not sure really. I've been lucky enough to sort of travel quite a bit. I think the Philippines has always looked really nice. I mean, Laura used to work with a lot of people from the Philippines, and you always used to say, oh, you need to go, and you know, we'll show you all these beaches and stuff. And yeah, it's always sort of, but it always feels like you need someone who knows what they're doing there, really. But I think, you know, to go to the Philippines and with a decent little guide and to go to some lovely beaches, I think it'd be really good.
Okay.
I thought Tokyo. I know it's not the same, but love South Korea and Seoul, and I think that's like a next step.
It is.
Tokyo.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Genuinely, we're going back this year. We're going back and can't wait. Last time we did Tokyo, then we did Seoul, and I actually think it made us not, for loads of reasons really, it's a bit harsh on Seoul, but like Tokyo was so far out there, and then to go to Seoul, it just wasn't, like, I think I'd have appreciated, firstly I'd have appreciated Seoul a lot more if you'd gone to Seoul first. I also think the idea of doing, like, trying to do two city breaks almost back to back, you're a bit done in, you know. It's a lovely problem to have, don't get me wrong, but you're a bit like, you've put your energy into the first one, and then by the time you get to the second one, you're a bit like, we've just done a week of this, so, you know, walking around looking at stuff, and so yeah. But so I felt a bit harsh on Seoul, but Tokyo was just absolutely incredible. That's why we're going back. It was,
I had,
like,
the best pool I've ever had in a fucking Waka airport. On the way to South Korea, the airport, which was like second to none.
There we go.
It was amazing.
Excellent.
It's like sort of Final Fantasy.
There we go. He's in the results business. Where would you like to go other than that airport? Where would you rather go? That you've never been other than that airport?
Other airport, lads.
You have sort of said my answers are usually at Seoul. I went to Tokyo for one day when I was very young.
So you can't say Tokyo if you've been there yet.
But I would love to go back. My answer for the favourite capital city is actually Bangkok. I just realised, and all its madness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to go to Seoul. I'd love to go to Korea. But I would love to go to Tokyo more than anything, return to and be able to go out in it. And apparently it's got like all the upstairs and downstairs. Everything's upstairs and downstairs. Is that right, Neil? In terms of bars,
yes.
That's what my sister said.
And floors and all sorts.
My sister travelled around Japan, and just like some of the stories she had about it just sounded so cool. So yeah, I'd love to go.
So where are we? Yeah. Next one on the lines is which Man United player?
Video outside.
Which Man United player would you want to go backpacking for the summer with, Craig? I'm looking at Josh and saying great.
There's definitely some sound lads in that United team, isn't there? Maybe Rashford. I would just quite like to chat to Marcus Rashford anyway on sort of like a level. So I guess backpacking would be a good excuse to do that.
Marvellous. Okay. Would you like to play? You're going backpacking with? Come on, Craigo.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Magatomney because he's Scottish and I've never met someone that I don't like from Scotland. So
okay, rock salt. John, are you backpacking with Man United?
Michael Silvestre.
Oh, former player, excellent stuff. Okay, why?
I just think he'd know where to go. He'd be sensible. He'd have a good plan, and he'd go off some petrol.
Excellent news. That's what you want. Which Man United player, past or present, will you go backpacking with him?
Dennis Avery.
Tremendous answer.
He knows way about a barbecue, that lad.
He most definitely does know his way about a barbecue. Excellent stuff. Listen, thank you very much for listening to this AFQ before this weekend of weekends. Come and see us at Manford Hall tomorrow night. If you haven't had the opportunity to buy a ticket yet, please do. Jump on that opportunity right now. We're getting tables and all that sort of stuff laid out for it, so it should be relatively comfortable for you all the way through. Got a fun new thing as well for the start of the show that we're looking forward to, and the whole opening is really rather different. Should be excellent stuff indeed. In the meantime, been a cast of thousands, all bobbing in and out with a staggering level of professionalism in terms of how quietly people were trying to open and close doors, much more so than you get in the Anfield Rush studio, I felt, Josh.
There
was such a serious
level of decorum.
Yeah, there was indeed,
which you don't get in the office,
no, or the Anfield Rush studio either. So thank you very much to everyone there as well, everyone who's been on the show all the way through. This has been your AFQ today. See you later.